Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning. And we trust that all of our listeners, many of our listeners, are making the adjustment from our afternoon broadcast time to our new morning broadcast time, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, right here, live from our studios of the Grace Hour. Again, thank you for taking the time to be with us. Hope you'll join us for the full hour-long broadcast. This is a very important week here in our country. We hope it is around the world as well. We'll be focusing on our National Day of Prayer coming up this Thursday, May 5th. But prayer is going to be our theme again throughout the entire week. And yesterday's broadcast, we got things started. And we're looking at the prayer that Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, most often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, although we are well aware of the fact that some have suggested that the real Lord's Prayer is found in John's Gospel, chapter 17. And again, perhaps we'll take a look at that portion of the scriptures later on during the week. But for today, we'll be focusing on the portion of scripture from Matthew chapter 6. And in particular, we'll be talking about the name of God. Holy is his name. And we read of that again in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pastor Hadley's joined us in the studio. He'll be bringing today's devotional message. And then following the message, of course, we'll open the phone lines as we always do here at the Grace Hour and begin to take your phone calls, questions, comments, testimonies, your counseling needs, if you should have one, and your prayer requests, all of those phone calls and all of those categories and more are welcome live right here on the Grace Hour. And we do always appreciate the fact that many of you join us live when the phone lines are open. We hope that you'll plan to do that today. We want to extend that invitation not only to those of you in North America, but around the globe as well. And in North America, you can dial the toll-free number, which is 800-338-7060. And the local number for those of you listening in the greater Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Again, don't forget you can listen to the Grace Hour live on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and of course our podcast is now broadcast live on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, just to name a few. And if you cannot catch us live, don't forget you can always catch up and our programs are all archived, and you can go to those many different sites and listen to the Grace Hour at your convenience. But those of you that are listening live, we do invite you to join us when those phone lines are open. We hope to hear from you. And getting things started today on our Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour, Pastor John Hadley. Pastor Hadley, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Love. I was thinking a couple decades ago, if you talked about Apples and Googles and Spotify's and Amazon Music, people would wonder what language I was speaking. Well, this is a new world. Here we are, the digital world. Okay, so hope everyone's doing well. Just pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to us. That's the whole point. We'd be edified. We would be helped, strengthened, comforted, motivated. So we come to this beautiful prayer, Matthew chapter 6. We are glad that the disciples asked Jesus for a prayer lesson, and he gave them one. And I guess if we had to, you know, fill in the blanks, and if we didn't have this and we had to think, well, what would Jesus have said? I am quite sure we would not have come up with the prayer that Jesus did, because it's really kind of basic. And but it's the mind of Christ regarding how we should pray. And it's not to be prayed in vain repetition, but it gives the main points, the points of focus that should be in our daily prayers. So it's really comforting, and I just love Jesus' teaching. It's so straightforward, so and on one hand understandable, and on the other hand, maybe not so much because parables and so forth, but there was a reason for the way he did everything. And so we come to this prayer, the Lord's Prayer as it's called, and today we focus on hallowed be thy name. But I feel that I can't just jump into that, but just backing up to the first line of the prayer, that he addresses the who of prayer. And he starts off by saying, much to their surprise, I'm sure, because of the work that he would do, he could start the prayer off by saying, "Our Father." He was certainly Jesus' Father, but to say "Our Father" must have struck the disciples as strange sounding to their ears, because this is a brand new approach to God. "Our Father," but this is a prayer that can only be prayed by God's children, unless, of course, they're asking to receive him and becoming his children. But who can say "Our Father" to God except those who belong to him? It says, not only do we call him "Our Father," but in Romans 8:15, we have received the Spirit of adoption. It's an adoption by the Spirit of adoption, which is the Holy Spirit. He makes the adoption legal. He makes the adoption stick. He makes the adoption a reality. And because we have the Spirit of adoption, we can just cry out in our spirit. We can cry not just "Our Father," but we can cry out, "Abba, our Father." Our Father, Abba. It's like not just "Who is your Father? This is his name." No, this is my Father. This is my Father, the one with whom I have a relationship, the one that I know so well, the one that is part of my daily life, the one who fills my life, the one I think about, the one I communicate with, the one who communicates with me, the one who cares for me, the one who's involved in my life. This is Abba, Father. This is a new depth and a new level of relationship. So this isn't in that prayer, but Jesus certainly knew all about it, because the Father that he's talking about was his Abba, Father. And he called him that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abba, Abba, I think is when he said, "If it be your will, if possible, remove this cup." And he didn't say just "Father," but "Abba." Like, you're the one that cares so much for me, that loves me so intimately, that's acquainted with all my ways. "Abba, if it's your will." And of course, for our sake, it was not the Father's will that his Abba would remove the suffering. So Jesus took it, in a sense, wholeheartedly, yes. I want to say gladly, but I don't know if that's the right word. But gladly in the sense of, "Father, it's my pleasure to do your will." So I guess yes. So he has given us that Spirit of adoption. We cry, "Abba, Father." Jesus used this term. Paul also used this term in Romans and Galatians. And he was speaking about us in himself, of course, that he is our Father at that level. So he is our Father. We are his children. We were the lost who have been found. We were the unbelievers who became believers. We were the condemned who he justified. We were the sinners who have become saints. We were the enemies who became reconciled. We were the faraway ones who were brought near. We were the rejected ones who have been accepted. Yes, it is. He is our Father. And then that's the who, but then the where. Where is he? He is in heaven. Who is in heaven? That word heaven means the elevated place. He is in the elevated place. We can't see him with our eyes, but one day we will see him, but not yet. It's by faith. And our faith is pleasing to God. We have not seen. We are blessed because we believe, not having seen him. But 2 Chronicles 2:6 says, Solomon said, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. So it's like you have heaven, the exalted place, but then you have in the heavens, there is the heaven of heavens. That's like the top heaven, however that works. We talk about seventh heaven, right? We'll just call that seventh heaven. In the heaven of heavens, there's not enough room for God because he fills everywhere. Yet that's the place he abides. His abode is in the heaven of heavens, but it's not sufficient for God. That's kind of a mystery. So, and then just an aside regarding God in heaven, there's a great verse here, Isaiah 66:1-2, regarding our Father, our Abba, who is in heaven. It can't contain him, but somehow our heart can contain him. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? God's saying, you got to be kidding me. Heaven of heavens can't even contain me. You're going to build me a house? And so, but Solomon did build him a house, and he was pleased to be in that house. So he says, for all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been. What does that mean, have been? All those things, heaven and the earth, and God says, they have been. It's been in my heart, my will, my desire. I brought it to pass. I created them. All I had to do is speak them into being. That's all. It's been in my heart. It's been, they have been, saith the Lord. But, okay, so this is a little, this is just, like I said, an aside to this, because it's too good just to not mention. So, but, to this man will I look. The heaven of heavens, his throne, heaven and earth, but there's the things that he has created, yes, amazing, but there's something pulling at God's shirt sleeve, we could say. There's something that is getting his attention. He says, but to this man will I look. He'll turn his head and take notice. Who is this person? It is him that is poor in spirit, right? Won't the poor in spirit see God? And of a contrite heart, and trembles at my word. God says, these are the ones who get my attention. These are the ones, yes, I am in heaven, but there are certain people that get my notice. And they are the humble and broken ones. They're the ones that I look at. They're the ones that I hear. They're the ones that are pleasing to me. God is bringing us all to that place. He's bringing us all to a place of a deeper humility and of recognizing our pride. Someone wrote, there's this great book on humility that I can't remember the title, sorry. But if basically we can, our default mode is pride. It's just because of the fall. Our default mode is pride. And if we say we're not proud, we are proud. That's a pretty good thing, a way to see it. We are proud people, and so can we ever say we're humble? No, we can't, but we can ask God to, we would be humble in his sight. And if we're in that place, and we can just keep thanking God and ask it to keep it coming, because otherwise I'm just going back to my default mode of pride. So, our Father who art in heaven. Here we go. Pastor Love, is it okay that I took this long to get to the main, to get to the point? This is my assignment today, right now. So the what? Who? Our Father. Where? In heaven. What? Huh. Jesus said, hallowed. This is it. Hallowed be thy name. God has many titles, but he doesn't have many names. I think he has really, without being it being compound name, it, he has one name. And that name is Yahweh. I think pronounced Yehovah. Hallowed, holy be thy name. So, hallow means set apart, holy, distinct. Hagiadzo, it means sanctified. It is most different, most unique. And then it says, it doesn't say holy is your name, but holy is his name. But Jesus isn't saying pray holy is your name like it's a fact. He's saying holy be your name, and those who are praying, Jesus is giving this model prayer to. So he says, it's kind of like the subjunctive mode, which is, it's God's desire that it be holy in the hearts of those who are praying to Abba, but it's also kind of like a command form. Hallowed be my name. So, yes, God can command it, but it's not going to happen without our desire, and that's the way God wants it to. Hallowed, holy, sanctified, set apart be my name, Yahweh, is what he says. So this doesn't happen automatically. And this is something that we grow in. It is God's will that his name be highly exalted. Because if it's not highly exalted in our hearts, then somehow we are impoverishing ourselves, because not to hold his name, Yahweh, in that high regard is somehow obstructing the flow of the Holy Spirit that we so desperately need to live the Christian life and be pretty happy living it. We need God's Spirit to make it a joy. A joyful experience. So I grew up, probably Pastor Love too, with not hallowing God's name. Even in a kind of, it wasn't intentionally disrespectful, but we grew up saying, you know, oh my God, right? I mean, that's just the way we talked. It was our vocabulary. Everyone said it, and I think we could say just about everybody, and it was just a cultural thing to say. And actually, it wasn't until not so many years ago that, I know Pastor Schaller mentioned it, but it came to my a conviction that, well, I shouldn't say that, because, oh my God, I'm saying it like as an exclamation, as just something light, and... Anyways, I just throw that out there for people who still say, oh my God. Okay, so listen to Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. That is Yehovah Elohim, the self-existent, eternal, supreme creator God. Now it makes perfect sense why we're not to use that name and take it lightly because of who he is. That's why Jesus said, maybe reflecting this, hallowed be your name, because of the third commandment, actually. So we should not, must not take that name in vain, shav, deceptively, falsely, and in a lying, untrue way. It actually means to lift up lightly, to lift up his name lightly. In other words, like flippantly or disrespectfully. And then it says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, meaning clear or blameless or free, that takes his name in vain. So just to say, you know, when Jesus said, hallowed be your name, he was very serious about that. It does us no good whatsoever to use that holy name in a light or disrespectful way. So this isn't being legalistic. This is just reality regarding who our God is and what he desires and actually what he requires. And it all works by grace. So let's just state that. All this is not a chore when the grace of God is present in our lives. As a matter of fact, this way of life becomes irresistible when the grace of God is filling our hearts. The Bible Illustrator, I copied this note from the Bible Illustrator, the name of God stands for himself and for that which he has revealed of himself, not for our thoughts about him. Even the Jews used it rarely. There is a tradition that it was heard but once a year when it was uttered by the high priest on the great day of atonement. In reading the scriptures, it became customary never to pronounce it, but to replace it with another divine name. This is how seriously the Jews took this name. So his name, Yehovah, reveals, the name reveals the person. The name reveals who he is. He's the covenant-making, covenant-keeping, sin-pardoning, spirit-giving, promise-keeping God. His name exhibits his essential character. How could we take that name lightly? Yehovah, praise his holy name. Malachi 2, 1 and 2 says, God is speaking, Yehovah is speaking, and now, O you priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to your heart, to give glory unto my name, to give glory unto my name, because of they were so lightly esteeming the sacrifices, it's vain to serve God, this way of thinking. If you don't take it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. So God is saying that this, what Jesus was saying, hallowed be your name, is our for our benefit. If we hallow that sacred name, well, I'll tell you what, the curses can turn to blessings. That's what happens when we honor that sacred name. So I will, I guess I will finish with, no, maybe we'll just stop right here, Pastor Love, and that's fine. Yes, hallelujah, hallowed be his name.
Amen. And we will, of course, continue our discussion live right here in our studios. And, of course, extend the invitation to you, our listeners. Join us live. Phone lines are open. And, you know, we're talking about that name. That name, as Pastor Hadley just described, which describes who he is, his character. A name, again, that was so holy that the children of Israel would not dare speak it. That's incredible. And yet, the reverence for the name of God seems in our culture all but lost. And in the world that we live in today, of course, we know it's interesting, isn't it, how when anger maybe strikes the heart of an unbeliever, whose name do they declare? But Jesus, who is the Christ. That's always startled me, you know. It's not, they don't get angry and shout out the name of a corrupt politician. You know, they don't get angry and shout out the name of their supervisor or boss. It's him. And we're not surprised about that because of the alienation of mankind in relationship to God. But I think you brought it out in the message that, you know, we remember. I cursed his name before I was a believer. I had no reverence for that name. I didn't know who he was. I mean, yes, I had heard about him historically, but as far as having a relationship with Christ, that did not exist. But once it did exist, wow. It's interesting because in our particular denominational religion that we were a part of growing up, you know, we ascribe that name to another person, to Mary. And we even referred to her as Holy Mary. And I find it interesting that in her Magnificat, when she was singing this praise to God for God choosing her by grace among women for this very special undertaking of bringing Christ into the world, she cried out and she said, "Holy is his name." You know, I mean, wow. You almost wish that she said, "Listen, holy is his name, not mine," because she too was a sinner that was to be saved by grace. But she said that, "Holy is his name."
Yeah.
And at that name, think about it. We read this, Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, that name, get ready, because at that name, every knee must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. It'll be at that name. And it's through that name, by calling upon that name, people are to repent and turn to God by faith and believe on him. Acts chapter 17. And again, there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Wow. The name of Jesus. We can so easily take it for granted, can't we?
Yeah. That's a staggering thought.
Yeah. Our phone lines are open. We want to hear your thoughts. Join us live at 800-338-7060. Even if it's just for you to, you know, worship and glorify the name of Jesus, we would welcome your phone calls. This would be a great opportunity for all of us just to magnify the name of God.
I stopped short of reading Moses' time with the Lord on the mountain. And it says in Exodus 34, 5-8, "And the Lord," this is again Yehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there," Moses, "and proclaimed the name of the Lord." It's like the Lord and the name of the Lord is inseparable. They go together. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Keeping, this is a great word here, keeping. It's more than just keeping. It is preserving, guarding, watching over, guarding. It's like the most important entity. It must be kept and watched. It must be present. Because without this hesed, this loving kindness of the Father, where's the redemption? So he is careful to watch over his hesed, like grace in the New Testament and love. For thousands forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, meaning those who do not come to God by Christ, there's no clearing them of their sin. Christ is the only way. And so that by no means will anyone be saved without going the right way. Like faithless Cain. Cain was not cleared of his sin, transgression, and his rebellion because he refused God's way. And then visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation, which I don't see this as like God doing this. I see this as a natural progression of sin in a fallen world, that it gets passed on. It gets modeled by the dad, seen and picked up by the children, who then model it to their children. And that would just continue, if not by the grace of God, somehow maybe it fades out after the third and fourth generation. Maybe because someone gets saved out of God's mercy, and then that stops. So this is the sin's insidious progression in a family culture and in a society. And then after that, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped. He made haste. He couldn't get on his face fast enough. Being in the presence of the God who guards and keeps hesed, his loving kindness and his grace that he pours out upon those who will humble themselves before him, Moses could do nothing but be on his face before God and worship. And worship. Hallowed be thy name. It's a beautiful portion. It's so revealing.
Amen. Well, that's what we're discussing today, live on this Tuesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. That name, the precious name of Jesus, that is a holy name, to say the least. You know, when you read the book of Acts and you have the church of the first century, one great narrative comes to mind in Acts, the third chapter, Peter and John going to the temple during the hour of prayer. And a certain man, crippled from birth, was being carried along, and they laid him each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts of all those who entered the temple. But when Peter and John were about to go into the temple, he asked them for a gift. Peter directed his gaze intently at him. So did John. And they said, "Look at us." And the man, expecting that he would, you know, get something from them, Peter said these words, Acts chapter 3, verse 6, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, that I will give you." And listen to what he said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." There's power in that name, which is why Jesus instructed us that from now on, and again, for those of us in the church age, when you pray, and whatever you ask in my name, that will the Father do. That's incredible. So it's, you know, there's not a coincidence that every prayer that's offered and brought before God is to be brought before God in Jesus' name, because that name grants us access to the Father. That name brings us boldly before the throne of grace. That name grants us and gives us the desires of our heart, and it's in that name. And then I love the fact that you get into Acts, the fifth chapter. The disciples had been arrested, then they had been delivered out of prison, and then the next thing you know, they are out once again preaching in the community, which they were told not to do. And then, you know, they once again brought them, set them before the council, the Sanhedrin, and the high priest examined them by questioning, saying, "We definitely and strictly charge you not to teach in or about this name." They wouldn't even say the name. Of course, they didn't want to say the name. They didn't want to give any credibility to the reality that Christ was raised from the dead. So they just said, listen, no more in this name. No more in this name. But again, it's the only name whereby people can be saved. It's the only name that gives us access to the Father. Jesus said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father except you come through me. I mean, as you brought out with Moses, it brings about worship in our hearts, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Powerful.
Wow. Well, those phone lines are open. We really do look forward to hearing from you, friends. If you have the opportunity, please pick up that phone. This name, the holiness of God, and that the reverential trust that's found in our hearts whenever we think of that name. You know, sometimes during our church services, our times of worship, you know, Pastor Schaller or whoever may be in the pulpit will just ask us to say the name of Jesus. And you can hear, you know, hundreds throughout the chapel just saying that name. And he's going to be the object of our worship for eternity. And I can't wait to participate in that. And then again, we don't even have to. We can do it now.
Yes, very sweet when that happens. It just fills the atmosphere.
Think of how many songs and hymns have been written about that name. And there doesn't seem to be any end to them. That's really incredible, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when it comes to music, you think of how many songs have been written about love, you know, and they're still writing them. Well, you know, how many songs have been written about Jesus? You know, I'm not familiar with any songs about Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius or any of the other leaders of the world's religions. But boy, when it comes to Jesus, there aren't enough songs to sing. There aren't enough lyrics to write. There aren't enough hymns to, again, be meditating upon in our hearts and our minds and coming off our lips.
And yet in heaven, there'll be yet a new song.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, a number of you have written to us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Carolyn reaching out to us. She says, good evening from Kuopio, Finland. And if you are following the news concerning Finland, thank you for your prayers for God's will to be done. We need to realize that God is the only true covering that counts in these last days. And I'm not familiar with what might be happening in Finland. I don't know about you, Pastor Hadley.
It was, some weeks ago there was the hate speech was dropped.
Okay, maybe that's what she's making reference to. If that's the case, yeah, we have heard about that. There was a politician, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she took a stand for a biblical principle, and, you know, she was marked as someone that was communicating hate speech when in reality she was just sharing her convictions.
Yes.
But I think that that's now behind us, and no charges have been brought against her, and the charges have been dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, we do have someone joining us from up in New England. Jenny Perry is joining us. And Jenny, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Hadley.
Hi.
You know, as you were speaking, I thought of this book I read a long time ago. I think it's called The Death of a Guru. Do you remember that? It was written in the 70s, late 70s.
I recall that title.
Yeah. Oh, the guy, okay. Coming, his name, his last name was something like Maharaj. Ravi Maharaj. And there's this amazing story that is tells in that book. He was raised in Trinidad, but he came from a long line of Brahmins, and his father was an avatar, you know, one of those, like he all he did throughout his life, even after Ravi was born, he never spoke to Ravi. He just sat, and people would come to him and worship him, worship the father, and leave gifts, and his mother would feed him, and it was very, very, very strict Hinduism, a certain sect of it. So his mother was a very avid Hindu as well. And when Ravi was a young teenager, his mother decided to go to Paris from Trinidad. And study under a guru, and I think Robbie wasn't going to see her for 2 years. Maybe it was longer, but at least 2 years. And she pulled him aside before she went, and she said, "Robbie, I want you to know that if you ever get in trouble, that and if the gods don't hear you and don't answer you and don't help you, just say the name Jesus. Just say the name Jesus." And he never forgot. He didn't forget that. And his mother left. And then it was then after his father had died, mother left for Paris. He found out that his grandmother was a Christian, and that's why she was treated so poorly by the rest of the family. And so he started to take interest, but still he wasn't a believer. So one, there was an incident where he went into the jungle to just spend time with his grandparents who lived close by, and he took this long walk, and he was very confused, just asking questions. And he was standing on the edge of this cliff, and he was looking out over this vast expanse on this island, and all of a sudden he heard this noise behind him, like a swishing noise behind him. He turned around, and it was one of those snakes that huge snake that curls, that coils, and then it coils upward, and then it would strike.
A cobra, sure, perhaps?
Cobra, uh-huh. Yeah. And so there's Robbie, and his back is to the edge of the cliff, and he's facing this cobra. And there was no escape. There's no way he could escape. He would either plunge to his death or get killed by the snake. So he suddenly, the Holy Spirit reminded him of what his mother had said, and he could hardly croak it out because he was so scared, but he just said, "Jesus, Jesus." And he said the snake just slithered down, just like he uncoiled himself, just slithered down and went right back into the jungle where he'd come from. And that was the beginning of his search for Christ and his conquest. And I think he traveled with Billy Graham for a while too.
Mm.
But I've used that story so often with Hindus and with people that, you know, where we're talking about the name of Jesus. But it's funny. It's like that name that it's so precious to us. I mean, how many times has that name rescued us from maybe less urgent circumstances, but it's definitely rescued us so many times, and yet it is so hated and so feared by the other kingdom.
Mm.
And I think of somebody that I know, somebody I'm close to, that before he got saved, he would hum the songs that we sing in church, but he would never say the name of Jesus. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't say, like for example, in the name of, in the name of, like he couldn't say his name. And now that he's saved, he just loves the name and proclaims it and freely utters it. But, it's a wonderful, wonderful name.
Wow. You know, Peter said it beautifully, and he's pretty much saying essentially what you said, Jenny. After, you know, the apostles, well, in particular Peter and John, were commanded not to speak in his name any longer, Peter and the apostles responded to that by saying, "We must obey God rather than men." And then he went on to say that the God of our forefathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And then he said these words, "God has exalted him to his right hand to be prince and leader and savior and deliverer and preserver in order to grant repentance to Israel and to show his forgiveness and release them from their sins."
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yes. That name. Oh. What does that name produce? Well, again, deliverance, preservation, repentance, forgiveness, and release from their sins.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful, Pastor. There, you know, like the song we sing, there is real indeed something about that name.
Wow. Yeah. And we love to speak about that name. We love to sing about that name. We love to proclaim it and to preach it. It never grows old, does it?
No, it doesn't. Don't you find, Pastor Hadley and Pastor Love, that in these dark times, I am much more, I know, I'd say we are all so much more willing and eager to proclaim the name, even if it's just like somebody says, well, how are we ever going to get out of this? And just, Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like this beam of light that just kind of pierces the darkness. Instead of saying, and true, you know, God will get us through this. No, just that one word, Jesus.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, I love it when you see an athlete, a professional athlete, regardless of the sport that they are participating in. When, you know, because so often you see them making gestures. For instance, a player will hit a home run. He'll point up towards heaven. And then when sometimes the players are interviewed, well, you know, I couldn't do this without God. But I love it when the athlete says, I want to give all the praise and the glory to Jesus,
yes,
my Savior. You know, because it's so much,
yes,
it's so much more specific. It's so much, it hits the target, as opposed to say, well, you know, I couldn't do this without divine inspiration or divine help or the big guy upstairs or the big guy downstairs. It doesn't, you know, all of that is so irrelevant. But I love it when they just say, Jesus, I do what I do for the glory of God. And that is so encouraging when you hear the name of Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Oh, amen. Can I tell one more story? It's a little one, unless there's somebody waiting to call.
Yeah, go quickly, because we do have callers.
Okay, real quick. I was at a funeral years ago as our nephew, and they were all unsaved, and the minister quoted these verses, and instead of putting Jesus Christ or Christ or Christ Jesus, he just put God or the Divine One. I was sitting in that audience, and it was the early 80s. I was boiling over. My knees were shaking. I said to the Lord, please don't ask me to go speak to him. And he did. The Lord did. And so in fear and trembling, I asked the minister after the service, I said, could I see you for a minute alone? And he said, sure. So we were far away from people. And I was basically a new believer. I said, why didn't you say Jesus? Why didn't you say Jesus Christ in those verses that you quoted? They're beautiful, but they're about Jesus Christ. And then I quoted Acts 4:12, and I said, you owe it to your people to tell them that there's only one name. It's not just God in general, but it's Jesus Christ. He got so mad at me. He got red in the face and got so mad at me. And I was basically new. I didn't realize it was going to be such a big deal. But I ended up getting in trouble with John's family about it, because he ended up telling one of John's family members, and he just was furious at me. But isn't that amazing that he withheld that name?
Yeah.
And substituted it for who he was, God and the Divine One. But it's the name.
It's, yeah.
And thank you for letting me tell that story.
No, that's beautiful. And you know what, Jenny? That's good trouble. And I hope you stay in good trouble.
I'll be in it with you, Pastor Love.
Amen. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
You go, Jenny.
Okay, amen. All right, let's go from up in New England to France. Our brother Dominic de Piazza joining us live in the Grace Hour. Dominic, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Hadley, Pastor Love. I just want to share a brief testimony about that name. That name is powerful. That name is worthy of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I was saved, of course, because of this name. But as I have I had the opportunity to share my testimony maybe 1,000 times, and I always share this story concerning my wife. I am a Christian because I saw my wife for the first time pronouncing that beautiful name of Jesus. Let me just explain briefly the story. My wife was not a Christian at all, no religious education. But one person from the Greater Grace Ministry shared the gospel with us, and he proposed us, my wife and I, to have a moment of prayer. And my wife said, okay, why not? She was not a Christian at all. She was even against Christianity. This person prayed for us that the Lord would open our hearts. And he proposed me to pray. So I was really shy. So I said, no, I don't know how to pray. So I left my turn to my wife. And my wife started praying, thanks God for the life. So she addressed for the first time, God, but in general, like in a pantheistic way, you know, God. Thanks God. I remember exactly. And she stopped, she paused for a moment, and she pronounced Jesus, the name of Jesus. I don't know why it happened, but it happened. And suddenly, she burst in tears, and she realized that that name was the name of God. And since that time, she was not the same person anymore. She became a Christian, and I saw that. I was, in real. And I was so much impacted by what I just saw. My wife was not a believer a moment ago, and the moment after she became a believer, a worshiper. So because she just pronounced the name Jesus, and that's it. So I share this testimony over and over again. I had the opportunity this afternoon to share, and I will have the opportunity tomorrow in Paris in a big tent in the front of thousands of people to glorify that name. So I really pray the name of Jesus. What beautiful name, what powerful name this is.
Ah, beautifully said. Dominic, thank you so much for sharing that. You said it all. You said everything that we were trying to say today. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
What a great testimony.
A powerful, powerful testimony. Because it is that name. It is that name. We're getting some comments. Carol Ann got back to us and said, in reference to our comments about Finland, she said, I'm actually referring to Finland and Sweden that are now planning to join NATO, which is something that they have not done for decades because they have remained relatively neutral. And here they are because of the outbreak of war and the invasion of the Ukraine. They're making that decision. And, I tend to think that that's a wise decision to make because, it may be Ukraine today, but what other nations may be threatened tomorrow by invaders?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good news. Thank you, Carolyn. Esther has reached out to us from Bangalore, India. She says, I've been listening to the song, quote, I Speak Jesus, end quote, several times this morning, and I'm blessed that the conversation is about the holy name of Jesus. Thank you, Esther. And we hope that you're going to get a chance to see and hear Pastor Schaller and the team that's traveling with him to India. I think they're leaving today, this morning. And they're on their way, and we're praying for those conferences taking place in Mumbai and Bangalore. So thank you. Appreciate it very much. And Madeline writes, hallelujah. Praise God. We appreciate this theme and subject so much. Let's go back to the phones. Aretta joining us from Baltimore. Aretta, welcome.
Good morning, Pastor Love. All my loving pastors, both of you. Pastor Love, that name I highly treasure. When kings and kingdom will forgotten be, we'll sing of that name throughout eternity, all eternity, Pastor Love. What glorious blessings we have as part of the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, His true church, the believing church, his precious blood, Pastor Love. What joy when we see him face to face throughout all eternity to live and reign with him. When this world will forgotten be, kings and kingdoms will forgotten be. That name I highly treasured. You forget the old hymns?
Oh, yes. Yes, and I like the way you put it out. It's going to be everyone, everyone. There's no exception to those who will bow their knee. Kings, queens,
kings,
presidents, prime ministers, conquerors, popes. The list can go on and on and on. Every knee will bow.
Every knee, Pastor Love. What glorious promises, precious promises. Love you all. Have a blessed day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Aretta. Yeah. God bless you. Pastor Hadley, we're going to wrap things up here in just a couple of minutes. Some final thoughts about our subject today and this precious name of Jesus.
Yeah, hallowed be thy name. You were in the book of Acts, and what a book that displays the power of Jesus' name. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. Jesus is God, God the Son. So just if we call on his name, the name of Jesus, we will be saved. And they were saved. And then Paul spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. And Peter commanded the believers to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And through Paul's preaching and its powerful manifestation, the name of the Lord was magnified. And Paul said that he was ready to die for the name of the Lord. It's like, take my life. It'll be an honor. And then when we call on the name of the Lord, Jesus, our sins will be washed away. That is, but so finally, Colossians 3:7, whatsoever you do, we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. That about covers everything.
Sure does. And again, we're going to spend the rest of this week, and we'll be doing just that, talking about that name. It's incredible when you stop and think about it. Everywhere in the Bible. I mean, some people respond to that name, results in salvation. Other people, they spend their lives saying, whatever you do, don't say that name. Say his name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that they have been redeemed and saved, delivered, forgiven, cleansed, all because of the precious blood of Jesus. Say his name. Thanks for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow for the next edition of the Grace Hour. Please join us then.